on that later. Right now in the studio with me is Samuel Guia, who is a current staff member of KPFA Pacifica Radio, and we're going to be discussing some of the latest changes. Before we go to that, I want to read a memo that was written by both Samuel Guia and Patricia Terrazas. We, Patricia Terrazas and Samuel Guia, current staff members at KPFA Pacifica Radio, would like to inform you of a critical issue affecting us, Latino programmers and employees, and to ask for your help and support. On Monday, September 15th, Patricia Terrazas was laid off from her position as Women's Department Director at KPFA. Like Patricia, three other staff members were given 2 weeks' notice to leave the station. This development came as a result, according to Pat Scott, Executive Director of Pacifica, and Lynn Chadwick, Interim General Manager of KPFA, of a shortfall of money in the budget. They claimed that the income received for fiscal year 97 fell short of expected revenues. At a time when KPFA staff has achieved greater fundraising goals, the layoff of these employees undermines labor practices and is detrimental to the community access and representation for the following reasons. First, Pacifica is restructuring KPFA's public affairs, Third World, and women's departments and folio publication. This restructuring involves the layoff of their respective staff, and in the case of public affairs, the possible hiring of a manager to take over a previous union position. Second, the burden of the changes has placed people of color in the losing side. In the past 2 years, we have lost more than 14 programmers representing people of color. In fact, with the promotion of Jesus Chuy Varela to the music department, we have lost any staff spoken person for local Latino news and public affairs. The only Latino program left is Our Americas, which comes from our New York sister station WBAI on Tuesday nights for 1 hour. With the firing of Patricia and Barry Scott, Third World Department Director, people of color have been silenced. Instead, you only hear Anglo-Saxon voices Monday through Friday with Pacifica National shows, Amy Goodman, Larry Bensky, and Jerry Brown. Third, the firing of Patricia and Barry took us by surprise. We still wonder why specific departments at KPFA are not all-inclusive, specifically the drama and literature department and the news department, which has no Latinos, Asians, or Native Americans among their personnel. We would like to know how it is possible that while Pat Scott, Pacific's executive director, who is an African American, incidentally, got 35% salary increases in the last 2 years, the union members got only 3% in their new contract. We would like to know why KPFA spends $30,000 per year to produce Jerry Brown's We the People, and Pacifica spends $200,000 to produce Living Room with Larry Bensky. Why these two shows get prime time while there is almost no programs produced, hosted, or directed by people of color for people of color. And finally, we want to know why the current budget supports these kind of national NPR-like programs while eliminating most needed staff through most despicable labor practices. These four community workers' termination date is October 1st, 97. Unless people in the community who are current subscribers at KPFA or have subscribed in the past or have been involved with KPFA and cares about its future do something to stop this unfair decision by Pacifica KPFA management, we are going to lose very capable workers. We need you to call Pacifica's Executive Director Pat Scott at 510-848-6767, extension 202, or Lynn Chadwick at 510-848-6767, extension 203, and denounce this unjust action. As Pacifica KPFA moves to the mainstream, we people of color are left behind with an empty bag, which was full of promises not long ago. Is this the American dream the progressives had in their mind for us, the immigrants and the Latinos? We don't have the answer to this troubling question, but we have faith in people like you to make the call and find out by yourself what is happening at Pacifica KPFA and its treatment of Latinos at the station. Please demand respect for Latino programming and for your representation. Sinceramente en espíritu comunitario, Samuel Guia, Patricia Terrazas. Welcome, Samuel, to Free Radio Berkeley.
Thank you very much, Kilo. We have been working previously, and I have fond memories of working with you at KPFA and the days that KPFA made some sense out of radio in Berkeley. I feel welcome in here, even though I'm still working at KPFA. I want to make a disclaimer to your audience. Number one, I'm coming in here as a U.S. citizen and as an immigrant. Number two, I'm not representing the union at this point, and I don't claim to represent the union or either KPFA or Pacifica. The reason of that statement that you just read is very clear. We are losing a battle at KPFA, and at this point, we have only one choice, and that's to go to the community, to call the community, and to ask them for their help, because I have to admit, we fail in many, many ways during the last negotiations, and that's what I really want to talk about today. There is some kind of misinformation going around regarding unpaid staff or volunteers at KPFA, and I want to set the record straight. There is some misinformation regarding what paid staff did to unpaid staff, and I think the record has to be cleared. And there is also some misinformation, and actually disinformation, or complete silence about the last labor negotiations at KPFA between paid staff and management. And I also want to clarify the record, because even though I was not sitting on the table, there were some significant developments that your audience needs to know.
And what are those developments, Samuel?
Okay, with respect to unpaid staff or volunteers, I talked to Lynn, the woman who's handling a web, I think it's Lynn Gary, in L.A. She's handling a web page in L.A. regarding Pacifica, and she said that in the web it says that paid staff sold out and paid staff. And for the records, I have to tell you something. Paid staff did not sold out and paid staff. When paid staff decided to go and change unions from United Electric Workers to CWA, Communication Workers of America, we had to get management to sign on a recognition to CWA. And there is a statement in here that is that clearly delineates what CWA were going to do regarding unpaid staff. And this is a document. This is public document. This is the agreement of recognition between CWA and KPFA. On the paragraph number 4, it reads, CWA contends that certain unpaid staff members, volunteers, who meet the definition of unpaid staff as set forth in section 5 of the UE agreement reference in this agreement of recognition, are employees under the NLRA and cite the NLRB decision in WBAI Pacifica Foundation in support of this position. Pacifica contends that volunteers are not within the definition of an employee. The parties preserve their respective positions with respect to this issue and agree to discuss their position during the course of negotiations. Nothing herein constitutes a waiver of any of the positions set forth above. What this basically says is that CWA and Pacifica agreed to disagree, because Marcy Lockwood, from the very beginning of recognition, did not...
The former general manager
of KPFA. From the very beginning of the talks, she did not want to recognize unpaid staff or volunteers as part of the negotiation unit. She claimed, and it's in pretty much Pacifica's position, that volunteers are not workers. And CWA opposed that.
The majority of the work on the radio station.
Yeah, they are just free labor. They are like slaves in a way,
right.
You know. Like people. Yeah, I mean.
What's the ratio to staff, to paid staff, to unpaid staff at KPFA?
Okay, if you recall back from.
It's about 10-1, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it used to be 10-1. You see, they went through a major shakedown. After you left, the number of unpaid staff came down to probably 6-1, maybe 5-1.
Oh.
Because they pretty much closed down shop for about almost half of the unpaid staff.
Right.
And
there used to be about 300 unpaid staff, so now you're saying there are probably only about 150?
About 150. During the marathon, probably it doubles that number because we have telephone volunteers.
Right. But, I mean, if unpaid programmers.
Unpaid programmers, it came down to about probably half of what it used to be.
Right.
And that actually obeyed a policy that the Pacifica imposed on us after the changes. And if you recall very well, most of the programmers were pretty much let go.
Quite a number of programs were abruptly canceled in 95, in August of 95.
That's correct.
And one of them was Freedom is a Constant Struggle, which is, as you know, and as our listeners know, has moved to Free Radio Berkeley and San Francisco Liberation Radio. But most of the programmers that were let go were people of color.
That's correct. And not only, and one of the evidences, and I'm collecting evidence. You know, everything that I have to say, I have a document here to support it, because Pacifica's, you know, if once they find out that I'm speaking up and I'm exercising my First Amendment's rights, they are not just going to sit back and enjoy it. I've been subjected to monitoring of my phone conversations at KPFA. That's just the beginning. Because they know that I am standing up against what they did to unpaid staff from the very beginning of when it came out for the first contract, and I said, and I fought for, and I told them that it was wrong to take people's rights as they had it in the contract and just take them away without notifying them.
Right.
And that was part of the
move. There was no notification when they just canceled people's programs.
Exactly, that's what they did.
Which is why I left. And then they had the nerve to give us this bureaucratic stack of papers to fill out if we wanted to make a proposal for a new programming. I refused. I absolutely refused because that was no way to treat people who have worked their butts off literally for ages. I mean, I had been at KPFA 13 years. When my program was canceled, and I refused to make a new proposal when I was so abruptly and so grossly mistreated, as were my colleagues. And one of the things that I wanted to get to was the assumption has been made that the paid staff in this latest union negotiation sold out the unpaid staff, in that the unpaid staff has been completely eliminated from the contract. Is that true, first, that the unpaid staff has been eliminated from the new contract?
Yes.
And has no protections whatsoever.
That's true. And as a shop steward, when that happened, as a shop steward, I put a fight. Once I found out that they have used unpaid staff as a bargaining chip.
Right.
You see, up to the point that the negotiators came out from the negotiating table, there was never agreed in the body, in the unit, that unpaid staff was going to be taken off the contract. When that came out in the first meeting during the negotiations, I put a fight for it. I said it was illegal. I said, you know, that it was wrong to take people's rights and just don't inform them. And I came up with a document. Mm-hmm. That it was circulated, it was mailed out from my own pocket. I took the chance, I took the money, and I sent it out to the unpaid staff to find out that they were the rights were being taken away from them, and they better do something, otherwise they're going to be completely without any rights at KPFA. Now, that move produced a backlash against me, and I had to fight it off all the way. Mm-hmm. Because there is a group of people at KPFA, staff people, paid staff people, who were behind the move of taking unpaid staff completely off the contract. It's not all the paid staff, it's not all the staff members at KPFA who are supporting this. Okay, I want to make that clear. There are certain elements at KPFA. There are certain staff people who had personal or whatever secret agendas that were concerned with unpaid staff and volunteers. And those people are the responsible people for taking off unpaid staff from KPFA, from United and Electric Workers. And right now, they have no contract. They have no right
to
KPFA.
I have enormous respect for you, Samuel Guia, for taking the stand that you have and taking the risk of coming here to Free Radio Berkeley and letting our listeners know what is really going on. I think it took a certain amount of courage. I mean, you have a baby. You just told me you have a 15-month-old baby, and you have a family to take care of, and you're literally putting your job on the line.
Yeah, it's true, Kilo, that I'm putting my job in the line, but there is something that I made it clear when I came up and I defended unpaid staff, and I told him very clearly I was unpaid staff when I came to KPFA.
Right.
Okay, I work from the apprenticeship program my way up.
Right.
I became a staff member after Chapu Alafonte hired me into the computer department. But I spent a year and a half working as a volunteer for KPFA, and that's the way I came.
Right.
So I could not just turn my back and walk off from unpaid staff. Number two, that a number of people on unpaid staff were Latinos, mm-hmm. were people of color like you and me,
right.
people who were pretty much put off the air, just,
yeah.
you know, and not
yeah.
only that, Kilo.
Blacks, Latinos, Asians.
Not only mm-hmm. that, Kilo, we had a program at KPFA that we fought for, and that Patricia Terrazas helped us to get at KPFA, and there was a program on Sunday. It was the only program on Sunday that was people of color just doing music. It was 1 hour, and that program was the only program that was canceled after the changes happened. It was kept for about a year, and after that, they pulled the plug on a man from Haiti who was playing Haitian music. It was the only program that was rotated. It was rotated from the Native Americans. It was given to the Latinos. It was given to the Hawaiian people. Finally, it was given to the Haitian people.
Yeah.
And then after that, they pulled the plug on it. It was so mean, you know, and it was...
And what did they replace it with?
More drama and literature.
Oh.
More apple pie.
Right.
You see, the way they did it, it was so... It was such a move. It was so much hypocrisy behind it.
Right.
Because during that time...
The whitening of Pacifica.
Well, that's what it is.
But, it really is. A sharp move to the right.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. And I have some document. And I really just want to read something that... This came out not long ago. And it's a document that was passed on to staff people by the former general manager... Marcy Lockwood, and it's a summary of planning discussions from on April 26 and April 28, and this is what they call KPFA successes over the past 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was passed to staff, and there's some really offending language here, and be careful with with this kind of documents, because they are using this document to rally a staff people behind Pacifica. And a second paragraph reads, KPFA retains its commitment to reflecting diversity on the air, but is striving to develop a new multicultural model. For example, there are few, if any, blocks of programming, an afternoon for African Americans, an evening for Mexican Americans, and more toward reflecting the concerns and issues faced by different populations in more mainstream programs of interest to a diverse audience. Mm-hmm. In addition, KPFA seeks to provide diverse people with opportunities to establish their own credibility as journalists and other information sources. Now,
in other words, you can use Pacifica as a stepping stone into the commercial major ABC, CBS media.
Well, this is the NPR. We are going to probably match KQED very soon. I don't know if we are going to start, broadcasting.
Well, I've brought along a commentary by Michael Parente, which I want to read shortly after our discussion, which deals with the overall mass media, and
Right.
You know.
Now, there is something else, and the move, really, the reason for removing the staff people for the layoffs, in a way, it really follows the next statement. An infrastructure is in place which allows the station to make changes. This infrastructure includes contracts and feedback mechanisms which allow for greater accountability. The station is now structured around air management, not departments, which supports a greater spirit de corps. There are fewer programmer islands and more value is placed on the producer role. In addition, more and more department heads are hired based on management skill, not seniority.
Right.
This is a move that Pacifica has made already in LA with the station KFCF, and it tried to make the same move in New York, but WBAI put a really strong opposition to
They've
this.
They've got a very strong
They have a very strong union. They're really behind black union people, not KPFA. And I'm really sorry to say it. We are really split. We are really divided at KPFA at the staff level. There's two clear blocks of people, one that is trying to defend our rights as workers, and another block that wants to go management way. And it's very difficult to work with a divided body.
Oh, I'm sure.
In fact, that's
one of the reasons I really don't care to work at KPFA, because the atmosphere is so chilly.
Right. Now, you said a while ago that I'm a courageous person. Kilo, there has been many courageous people who came to KPFA and spoke up.
Right.
And once I see these people leaving and never coming back, that's when I start wondering, am I really broadcasting from the wrong radio station?
That's a good question.
And I have presented that question to my wife and to myself, and I came pretty much to the conclusion that if I cannot exercise my first right, my First Right Amendment of free speech at KPFA, what the hell am I doing there?
Yes, I hear you.
You know very well that there is a gag rule. There is a gag rule in there.
Yes,
and it's not only a gag rule, that they have already a mechanism to pull the plug on you, and you can't say a word. Right. You have to just walk out.
Right.
And it's really
sad.
Well,
let's get to the firings. Now, they fired Barry Scott, who was headed up the Third World Department for probably well over a decade. And I don't know how many years, but it's been quite a while. It's more than that, a decade, because I was there. I came in 83, and she was, I think she was heading the department then. But in any case, Barry Scott is an African American woman. I really was, when I mentioned that Pat Scott was African American, I was thinking of Barry, when I mentioned it, just to point out that she was fired. But I wouldn't even use African American to describe Pat Scott. I would just say Oreo or Negro Z or something.
Yeah, well, I had.
I wouldn't give her any.
I call her the gang leader.
Yes.
And I'm, but, I
think she's an agent. I really do.
I don't know. I have no.
If she's not, she should be getting paid. You know what I mean?
I tell you.
But in any case, what and who else was fired? Would you give up the other names?
Yeah, there were Ralph Steiner. He was the art director for the Folio, and Ralph.
I know Ralph.
Ralph and Dan, both of them. The Folio is pretty much history.
Yes.
If you look at the Folio, the last Folio that came out is almost a joke.
Yeah.
Because it cost them double the amount of money of the previous Folio, which they said it was too expensive.
Yeah.
You see, they just have to, I mean,
they find money when they want it.
Yeah,
want to
right.
Find money.
Right. I mean,
know.
They have to pay for a more expensive
that's the
Folio.
Way, that's they operate very similarly to the way corporations operate,
right.
And the government operates.
Right.
They find money when they want to find money.
Right.
Otherwise, they're broke all the time.
Right. Now, there's something, there's a development there, Kilo, and they actually, I talked to Ralph, and Ralph told me that there was a consultant that came to KPFA Pacifica and told them that they had to get rid of the Folio about 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah, a guy from Arm...
There's a name that was floating around for a while. And I'm sure Ralph knows who the person is. So ever since this man came and told them that they had to get rid of the Folio, they've been moving toward that direction.
Yeah.
Same thing with the programming. Same thing with the format. There was somebody who came from the outside as a consultant. Mm-hmm. And Marcy Lockwood and Ginny Burson, they said that even though the consultant had an opinion, they were not following the consultant's the consultant's recommendations,
right.
When in fact that was exactly what they were doing. Now, the problem is not that much format. I don't, you know, the format is part of the problem. The real problem is content.
Right.
If you listen to KPFA today and you listen to the show that they have, listen to the content. What
right.
are they talking about? Who is speaking for who?
Right. Some of the content is amazingly mainstream and rightist. I mean,
they take the established position
pretty much.
Yeah. It's going.
Well, yeah, and it's really sad because they've strayed far from the original mission of KPFA to provide a real viable alternative to the mainstream media, and it's not doing that anymore. It's trying hard as it can to become mainstream media, and I think that's really sad. But I also, at the same time, think that micro radio is our best bet in combating this trend toward the right, and if people would give micro radio a little more support, I think that we can be the force that pulls from the left, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. In that respect, Kilu, and I think you people are very courageous as well on staying on the air and fighting off the FCC. You know, there is very stiff rules that governs public radio right now, and one of the reasons, if there is a document that was produced by Pacifica that is called the 5 years. Strategic plan, mm-hmm. and if you haven't had a chance to read that document, it's pretty much a recipe to go into the market and get the money.
Right.
That's right now KPFA Pacifica is pretty much driven by ratings and money.
Right. Same as the mainstream media.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So basically, that's what is happening right now at KPFA, and outlets like this, what I call a homemade radio.
Right.
Are the last hope for us, so we can
right.
the community can have.
I call it guerrilla radio.
Guerrilla. Well, guerrilla. You know, I'm Peruvian, and you know,
yeah.
in Peru, a lot of the guerrilla that we do it at home.
Right.
So it's proper to call it guerrilla radio as well as homemade, because that's where
right.
the guerrilla really starts.
Right.
and I'm really glad that I have a chance this morning to talk to your audience in Berkeley, and hopefully this will be broadcast
well,
later.
Samuel Guia, I appreciate your coming very much. And I would like to give you an opportunity to say some last words, because our time is just about up, and let people know what they can do.
At this point, if you call KPFA and try to get Pat Scott, she's going to send you to Bird Glass, a $35,000 man that works for Pacifica, pretty much disinforming people and just saying plain lies and joking about it. So he will give you the roundabout.
So
that's
a waste of time.
Yeah, it's a waste of time. But still, I think that if you place a call, she will know that the community is beginning to react. That the community is not blind. That there's somebody in the community that knows already what is cooking. I strongly recommend, actually, to call Aline Chadwick, because she was the one who did the layoffs, and it was so hypocritical, her attitude. I was present when Patricia Terrazas was given the pink, and it was so hypocritical.
How much notice did they get?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
You know that they also lay off the assistant manager, his name is Phil Osigira, and he was given 6 months. Can you believe this?
Oh.
6 months. It was so hypocritical. The whole thing was so hypocritical.
Oh, my goodness.
Laying off Barry Scott, a woman who had put her soul into Pacifica. That woman had brought money into Pacifica, okay? It's mm-hmm. not just soul. She
yeah.
brought money. She brought talent. She brought Chuy Varela into Pacifica, into KPFA.
Right.
And it was they broke her heart. They asked for her keys right there, right in her office.
Oh,
and not only they asked for her keys, they wanted to give Chuy Varela responsibility. Chuy Varela's, they wanted to give her responsibility to Chuy Varela. They asked Chuy Varela to do her job.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I mean, she's working like time and a half in the music department, and they wanted him to take Barry's responsibility. They went to that. I mean, these people have no idea what they are doing with KPFA, and if they do, they are really screw up in their heads.
Right.
And I'm talking about two women who work in radio for a long time. I'm not talking about people who just walk off the street.
Right.
Now, this kind of developments, this kind of nonsense, this kind of things that are happening right now at KPFA, we have to denounce it. We have to make that call to KPFA, 510-848-6767, and ask to talk to the general manager, Lynn Chadwick, and ask for what the hell is going on, why they are laying off very capable people,
right.
People who have spent many years as volunteers. Patricia is still is a volunteer on Saturday nights.
Right.
But the thing is, and the point is, that there are still people like Patricia, there are still people like Barry, there are still people like me who are put in a fight. And if at this point we don't hear from the community, we are pretty much history.
Right.
And if that's the way we have to go, well, might as well go and find something else.
All right.
But we are not going to give up the fight.
All right. Well, on that note, I want to thank you very much, Samuel Guia of KPFA, for coming to Free Radio Berkeley and letting us get the real facts of what's been going on. Thank you very much, and I wish you the best.
Thank you very much, Keila. Thanks for your audience.
All right. Take good care. And once again, you're tuned to Free Radio Berkeley, 104.1 FM. And this is Freedom is a Constant Struggle with your host, Keilu Nyasha. Right now, before we go to our special commemoration of the birthday of...